How many know that God's called us to study His Word? He says, study to show yourself approved. For the workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in the Gospel of John, if you turn to the first chapter, and it's interesting because Sunday's message, it really dovetailed with last Wednesday's message that Scott brought. He brought us a message on faith. And here on Sunday, we were talking about faith as it relates to us being a doer of the word. And so let's just take a look at the first chapter of John. In verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Say, the Word was God. Now, let me just show you that we'll let Scripture, you know, show us that there's other validations of that. In Revelation 19, I believe it's verse 13. We're going to find out in just a second. Yes, it is. Revelation 19, 13 says, talking about Jesus, "He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God." Jesus was the Word before He was baby Jesus. He's always been with the Father. He's been there from the beginning. Not the beginning of creation, but the beginning. And there is no beginning. So Jesus always was. It says He was with the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. So God the Word, or Jesus, had a part in creation. And it says, "And without Him, nothing was made that was made. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." How many know that when you go into a dark room and turn on a flashlight, it becomes lit up, or you turn the lights on? Darkness can't take away light. No matter how dark it gets outside, it's light in here because we have the light on. So in the Word of God, light has different meanings. It's referred to as different things. Here it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Then it says that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. But now turn with me over to John's Gospel, chapter 8. Remember, verse 3 or verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Well, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, well, verse 11, well, verse 12, "Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world.'" So He said, He spoke to them again, saying, so He said it once before that, at least, but He says here, He's the light of the world. So if He's the light of the world, how can we be the light of the world? Well, it's real easy, because we're in Him and He's in us. And so Jesus was the light of the world, and we're the light of the world. Light also means revelation. When light comes on a situation, when you get the Word of God, because we see here in John chapter 1 that in Him was the life, and the life was the light of men, it shines in the darkness. So now go over to Matthew 5 with me, because we're tying together Jesus being the light, we are the light, and then Jesus being the Word. And so Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to take a look starting in verse 14. Matthew 5 and 14. Here He says, well, let's back up to 13. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." You are the salt of the earth. Now, that's an interesting way He says it. But what does salt do? Salt seasons things. It flavors things. And so He's saying that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? "It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Verse 14, He says again, "You are the light of the world." So apparently we have a job to do here in this world. We are the light. Well, what does light look like? And on Sunday, we began to look at in John chapter 14. Actually, hold your place here. We'll come back to this. But in John chapter 14, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. And everybody there? And Jesus was having a conversation with Philip. And Philip said, well, show us the Father. Lord, show us the Father, verse 8, and it's sufficient for us. Just before that, Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known the Father. So what's Jesus telling us? That he and the Father are one. And we know all through the Gospel of John, Jesus keeps revealing that he didn't come on his own agenda. He didn't come to bring anything new. He came to speak only what the Father told him to speak. He only came to do what the Father showed him to do. And so, interesting that Philip says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so, that confused Philip. And he says, well, wait a minute. If you've known me, Jesus said, if you'd have known me, you'd have known my Father. And Philip says, just show us the Father. And so, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 9, Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So if he who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. Well, he has seen us as the light of men. If the light is in us, then the world is going to see the Father in us. Okay? So he goes on and he says, so how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus says, do you not believe that I am in the Father? Well, you could say the same thing for you. Do you not believe that Jesus is in you and that you're in him? Absolutely. And he goes on to say, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So here now Jesus introduces the word works. He says, I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. He's the Word of God. You're in him. He's in you. Now he brings in these works. Well, what's he talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked because he's going to explain it to us. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly. When any time when Jesus says most assuredly, or I think in the King James Version it says truly, truly, or most truly, or he's trying to get our attention that this is important. This revelation is important. And so he says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. Now, Philip should have known this because he had sent the disciples out to do the works that he did, hadn't he? So they were already doing the works that he did, but Philip was still saying, well, we haven't seen the Father. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, that comes right down to us today. If the world is seeing us, they should be seeing Jesus in us. They should see the love of the Father. They should see the compassion of Jesus Christ. They should see, and not only see us as they look at us, but they should see works that we do that reveal who we are. Remember I know I've got you holding your place over in Matthew 5, but hold your place in John 14 as well, and go with me to Acts chapter 1. That's why you have all these fingers anyway. It's for studying the word, to hold your place. In Acts chapter 1, this is after Jesus had died and he was resurrected up out of hell, and he appears on the earth to over 500 people. And so he's speaking to the disciples now, and he tells them in verse 8 that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll receive power. That's important because you need power to do the works. You need the same power Jesus had to do the same works Jesus did. Over in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. If Jesus was acting as God, why would he need to be anointed with God? He see, in Philippians chapter 2, it says he stripped himself of all that power. But now as a man, he's anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, which enables him to do the miraculous works. And it goes on to say that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When you stop and get off half the verse, it's hard to go back to that verse. But anyway, that's what he said. So anyway, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you'll receive this power. I want you to notice that it says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. That word witnesses means evidence providers. The world is saying, show me. Show me. If you believe you do the works that Jesus did, show me. So we should be doing the works that Jesus did, and we should show the world. So it should not be uncommon for us to pray with somebody and believe God for a miracle or speak to a situation, which is where we're going here tonight. But that power is necessary. And he says, and then you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, in Laconia, in Belmont, in Guilford, all over the Lakes region and New Hampshire and beyond. But we need that power to be clothed with that power. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you need that. You need that power. And I believe, I know about everybody here, and you pray in the Spirit and you watch God. You know, the initial evidence here was that they prayed in tongues, but the purpose that the Holy Spirit comes on us is for this power to do the works, and it's also so that we'll be led by the Spirit of God. We need to have that intimate relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit's the one here living inside of us on this earth. It says that God leads us into victory. You got to be following him. You can't follow him if you can't hear his voice. So we need to hear his voice. Amen. All right, so go back to John 14, and then we're going to go back to Mark and chapter 5. In John 14, we see that Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that I will do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That sounds like he's talking about asking him as in a prayer. But that word ask is a Greek word, and it's pronounced aheteo, I guess, close as I can get it. And it means to demand. So you're not demanding of God. What are you demanding? You're demanding of the enemy. You're using the name of Jesus, which has been given to us. Mark 16, he says, in my name you'll cast out devils. It's the name of Jesus. And we see all through the beginning of Acts, actually all through the book of Acts, where when they spoke in the name and they prayed in the name, they were getting in trouble with the authorities, weren't they? They wanted to shut down the name because, see, Satan wants to shut down the truth. He's not telling you don't pray in Buddha's name or don't pray in Muhammad's name. No, you stay away from the name of Jesus. But I tell you, the name of Jesus is the one you want to have, the one that's the powerhouse, the one that's going to get the job done. It's going to get the works done. So Jesus here himself says, whatever you demand in my name, that will I do. Whatever you demand in my name, that will I do. All of heaven is backing you up and backing up the name of Jesus, not our own name. Matter of fact, he even said over in Matthew 28, I'm going to digress for a minute and go there because this is so important, because I've heard people respond, well, you know, that was just for the disciples. That was just for the apostles. You know, that's all done away. How many have heard that? You know, and that was for them. And, you know, that's just no fault Christianity. It's not my fault that I'm not getting anything done because God hasn't, you know, given that for me today. Yes, he has. And I'll prove it to you right here in Matthew 28. The Great Commission, Jesus came and spoke saying, all authority's been given to me in heaven and on earth. You go, therefore, and you make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, verse 20 is very important, teaching them to observe or to do all, say all, all things that I've commanded you. So when I read that and saw that, I went through and read the Gospels and found out everything that Jesus commanded them to do. And I realized that was for me today. And that's for you also. We're still writing the book of Acts. We're in there. And so these works that we do are going to be recorded. The people that we witness to and bring into the kingdom, it's being recorded. At the beginning, it says, and thousands, you know, several thousand, 3,000 were added unto the church that day. Well, it keeps on going. It keeps on adding and adding and adding. And we're a part of that. Amen. Okay, so turn back to Matthew 5. Do you have your fingers still in there? You hadn't turned the page. You already turned it. Where he said, you're the salt of the earth. In verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill can't be hidden, nor do you light a lamp and put it under a basket. So what's he saying? We should be letting the world see us and letting the world see Jesus in us, letting them see the Father in us, letting them see by evidence, proof, providers that we do the works that Jesus did. And so verse 16, and I mentioned this on Sunday, just amazes me. This verse here, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But he didn't stop there. He said, and glorify your Father in heaven. So the works, evidently, according to the word here, we're supposed to let our light so shine that the world really takes notice and is impressed to the degree that they glorify God and say, oh my God, we shouldn't be shocked that we see a miracle, but the world will be. That's what's going to attract. That's what attracted. It's like the dinner bell. Dad Hagen used to say that was the dinner bell that, you know, miracles would bring people in. You can't deny it. Over the weekend, we watched Billy Burke, and we watched like 5 hours of it, of live from I think it was down in Fort Worth, Texas. And the miracles that we were just seeing, it shouldn't amaze us. It shouldn't amaze us. That should be the norm. That should be our normal life. Because he's given us everything we have inside of us. He's given us the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God. Isaiah 53:1 says, whose report will you believe? The one that's been revealed. The strong arm of God is revealed to the one that believes the report. That's the power of God. We've been revealed that power. We've been put right inside of us. And we've been given the name of Jesus. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Word, which we saw over in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, guess what? You're in him, and he's in you. He's the Word, and he's in you. The Word is in you. The Word is in you. Everything that you need for life and God-likeness, godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, has been given to you, and it's inside of you. It's all been given already. The Word is in you. You've got to draw it out. You've got to draw it out. You've got God himself inside of you. But we've got to work with him. How many know we got to work with him? We've got to cooperate. You need a miracle? You're going to have to cooperate to get a miracle. Just like Mary did when she conceived Jesus into her womb. When the angel Gabriel came and said, here's the word of the Lord, and says that the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you and you're going to become pregnant. And she's like, wow, she's got a decision to make here. Is she going to believe it and receive it? Or is she going to doubt it and do without it? And as I've said before, Martha could have been our next carrier of the word of Jesus. Now we know that didn't happen because Mary said, let it be done unto me according to your word. Well, let the works that Jesus did be done unto us, and let us do those works because he said they would. Jesus said it would. That was Gabriel that brought that word, and that worked. Well, that word came from heaven, came from God the Father. Well, how many know that Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. So the Father is saying, you're going to do the works that Jesus did. Isn't that good? The Father said that. Amen. Okay, so let's move on. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. I was there earlier, so I guess you weren't. I'm going back there. You go there. Proverbs 4, my son, give attention to my words. Verse 20, listen, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And then he goes on to say, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. And then go over to Romans. And I'm kind of digressing to last week's message that Scott brought about faith. Faith must be in two places. And so we see over in Romans chapter 10, I believe it is, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, remember that faith is the currency of God's kingdom. Faith is what gets things done. It's not us working till we, you know, work our hands or, you know, work ourselves down and sweating and toiling. It's not that at all. It's taking God's word by faith and to show what faith is for anybody to see that. They're going to have to see an action, or they're going to have to hear something you speak out of your mouth. Like those four crazy guys that had the friend on the stretcher. And they got to the meeting and there's no room. They didn't give up. They looked up. They looked up to the word. Actually, the word was inside the house, but they looked up for a way to get to the word. And so Jesus was teaching that night. He was having Bible study. The place was packed out. And they can't get in. You know the story. And they get him up on the roof and bring him down. And Jesus said he saw their faith. When that guy's coming down, he saw their faith. What did he see? He saw their diligence. He saw they came to get something, and they're going to get it. They didn't come to quit. They're not quitters. He observed their faith. Faith always acts. Faith always does something. That's why, you know, when I minister and somebody's receiving their healing something, you ask them to do something they couldn't do before. And they start moving their shoulder and they say, oh, wait a minute, the pain's gone. They came up in pain, but as soon as they receive and the power of God goes into them, that's what their cooperation with that power, their faith. And so Scott brought a great message last week about faith and how we need to use it. And here we see that it has to be in two places. If you confess with your mouth. Now, everybody in mainstream denominational churches agrees with this because this is how we get born again. We hear the message. Just think how many people heard the message through Billy Graham. My word. And just think how many preachers came out of that. Just think how many missionaries came out of that. Just think how many, I mean, you can't even count it. In 99 years, or I don't know when he started, as a teenager, he began ministering. My word, he was always, always sharing the word of God. But it says, if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're going to have to say something with your mouth. Having said that, go over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. You had Mark 5 in your notes? I'm not surprised. We're not looking at all of them. Matthew 5. We were at Matthew 5, where he said, you are the light of the world. Jesus here, and we're not going to read the whole story, but you know the story of the fig tree, that infamous fig tree, and how Jesus spoke to it. And so he's teaching his disciples something very, very, very important. He's teaching them how to operate in faith. They spoke to it. Peter notices the next day something happened. He spoke to it. Something happened. When you speak to something in faith, you should expect something to happen. Don't you know Jesus expected that to happen? Didn't happen immediately. in the physical where you could see it with your eyes, but within 24 hours, that tree was history. And so they noticed it, and they brought it to his attention. Don't you know that he knew this was going to be a teaching moment? A teaching moment on the road. They came into town, they left town, they're coming back. It's going to be a teaching moment before we get to Bible study, before we get to the house. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Well, what does that look like? Well, he's going to explain it to us. For truly or assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He'll have those things that he believes in his heart that he says. He'll have those things that he says that he believes in his heart. And Jesus said, you can speak to the mountain. He was given an example. The mountain is what's the problem? What's the problem in your life? He just got done speaking the day before to a tree. That was his problem. He wanted some figs. It was perverted tree did not provide him figs. When perversion comes into your life, you need to speak to it. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to go to God about it. You don't have to call me and tell me about it. You speak to it. This is what Jesus is trying to get them to do, is start being able to function by faith and not have to always rely on somebody else. So he's telling us here, you speak to it. And then he goes on and teaches us what a prayer of faith is for things you want to receive from God. And he says, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe you receive them. That's a new way of praying, friend. You have to believe you receive it before you receive it. Not, well, the pain is still here, I'll believe it when the pain goes. No, you believe the pain goes, then the pain goes. You have to believe you receive it. You haven't received it if you haven't believed that you received it. Okay, last scripture we're going to look at tonight for you guys, talking about speaking to things, go over to Ezekiel 37 with me. Ezekiel chapter 37. And this is powerful. This is powerful. Ezekiel 37, correct. We're going to start right in verse 1. You're the Wednesday night bunch, so you can handle this. We're going to bring it to the Sunday morning group too, but everybody there? Verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And God said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And look at his answer. Oh, Lord God, you know. That's a good way to answer. I know you know the answer, but apparently he didn't. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What is God speaking to us? Take the word of God and speak that into your life. Speak that into your situation. You get a situation at work, you take care of it. All right, let's go on. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Remember, these were just dead bones. They were just bones. He's going to put the sinews. He's going to put the flesh and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Hallelujah. As I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly, don't you just love it when suddenly happens? And suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And God said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. And they lived, ha ha. And they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So what is he saying here? If you can believe God and believe his word when he says, speak to these bones, you can speak to any situation in your life. You can speak to a physical situation and you can command that thing. You can command that tumor to leave. You can command life to come back into someone's body. When Jesus was teaching his disciples, he sent them out and he told them multiple times, you go heal the sick, you raise the dead. We can do that if we believe that. But here he's telling Ezekiel, you speak to these just bones. And he did. So here's the thing. When you get the word from God, when you get the word of the Lord, this is the word of the Lord. When you get it on any situation, you take this word and you prophesy it into your situation. You speak to your situation. Speak to your mountain. And expect it to come to life. Expect the life of God to come into that thing. It might be a relationship. You prophesy over that relationship. You command life to come back into that relationship. Maybe a spouse, maybe a son or a daughter, maybe a family member, maybe somebody that is a coworker that you just haven't gotten along. You can speak to that thing. You can speak the life of God into that life. The love of God is more powerful than anything. And when we operate in the love of God and we speak his word in love, we get results. We get the miracles we've so been believing God for. I mean, we've seen miracles, lots of them right here. I want to see more. I want to see more. I want to see more people coming into the kingdom. And I believe we're right on the threshold of a harvest coming in to where, and I said it on Sunday, that we get here and there's going to be a line of people waiting at the door before the door's even opened. Because they're going to be coming to what's the truth. They're going to be coming to a place where they see something happening, where they believe that we're not just blowing smoke, but we're demonstrating as witnesses and proof providers that Jesus is Lord. And they'll come running to the altar to get born again. And they'll get the mess that their life was in will get changed, will get rearranged, will get healed. Things that happened as a child, they'll get that thing taken off them, broken right off them. We can speak life into them. I'm teaching you here tonight. We're all going to be doing this, not just the preacher. We're all called to preach and prophesy. We're all called to be doers of the word. We're all called to be doing the works that Jesus did. Amen. We're coming into a time, friend, when I'm excited that we're going to see miracles. I mean, we're going to have more testimonies. We're going to have testimony times. Because you're going to be coming in and saying, you know, I was at work and I prayed with somebody and they were an atheist. They just didn't believe. And they got a miracle. And now they're coming to church. Here they are, right here, sitting right here, coming to get saved. You're going to be bringing people in because the world is going to be seeing. They're going to be seeing Jesus Christ in you. They're going to be seeing the Father in you. And it's the Father's heart that not one perish, that all come into the kingdom of God. He wants them all. He paid the price through Jesus' blood to get them all, and he wants them all. And we can't look the other way, even if it's somebody that's unlovely. We've got to be willing. We've got to be willing to step out and speak and to love on people that are unlovely and watch the love of God work a miracle right before your eyes. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Glory to God. I'm excited. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the truth. It's the final authority in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for the power of that word that works in and through us. We thank you, Father, for depositing everything inside of us necessary for life and godliness. Father, help us to take what we've heard tonight. Help us to mull it over, to meditate on it. Help us to get excited about doing the very things Jesus has commanded us to do. He said we'd do them. We got to believe it and start doing them. So, Father, I just thank you that this word has gone out. I pray that it's falling on ears that were hearing ears and hearts to receive. And I pray, Father, for the harvest of the words that have gone out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory to God. Thank you all for coming. Be blessed.